Isaiah 57 in verse 14. Would you turn with me? Isaiah 57 verse 14. And shall say, cast ye up, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the Lord, or for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Let's pray. Lord, we recognize that we are a people in need. And we know that we are living right now in the midst of a generation of people in this nation and all over the world. Lord, they need you. They need you more than they need anything else. They don't even realize the desperateness of their life, the hopelessness of their life. But Lord, could there today be an awakening among us right here in this congregation? Would you talk to us and deal with us, Lord, about our own personal need? Would you help us, Lord, to see that we are in need of your divine touch? We are in need of a Holy Ghost revival. We need you, Lord, to come and to move and to minister among us. And we ask you, Lord, to speak to us today in Jesus' name. The revival we need. The revival we need. I'm talking to you and me personally today as a church. We are in need. And that really has to be the whole foundation of us deepening our walk with the Lord has to begin with the realization of how great that our need is. You'll never get anywhere with God. You'll never grow in the Lord. And you'll certainly never experience a revival in your life unless you are willing to admit that you are in need. You have to come to a place that you're dissatisfied with what you are, where you are, and what's going on in your life right now, spiritually speaking. You have to come to the place that you're willing to say, I just don't want it to be like this anymore. I don't want to go on like this. I don't want to try to go on without the power of God and the help of the Lord and the moving of the Spirit of God in our lives. You know what? We have the tendency. It's a human weakness. We have the tendency to find ourselves in a circumstance of great need, but we find everyone in every other situation to blame it on. And we talk about others and their failures and their weaknesses and their needs. But in reality, what we need right now here among the people of First Pentecostal Church is we need a fresh, continual rain of the Spirit of God upon a dry and a thirsty people. Amen. Amen. But it has to begin with this dissatisfaction. With a willingness, you're going to have to be willing, like me and all of us, we're going to have to be willing to admit, oh, this is what I need. And I'm just not content with where I am in the Lord and where I am in my walk with the Lord. You have to be reminded of the fact, as I've already said, that God has placed you right now where you are. And he wants you to enter into to God's best for you right now. And don't think that there's always going to be this elusive thing out there. One of these days, I'll do this. One of these days, I'll go there. One of these days, this will happen or that will happen. No, what we need to focus on is the fact that God has placed us right where we are right now for a purpose. And that we need to enter into God's best, into God's power and his anointing in our life. And that needs to be the focus of our life. We need to be so dissatisfied with where we are in God, that we are asking the Lord, Lord, change this situation and do it in me. Change me. Do a work in me. Change me. Help me to be what I have not been. The writer here, Isaiah, is defining what needs to happen if you're going to prepare yourself for God to come into your life in a greater way. If you really are going to prepare your heart for God to move in your life in ways that you can't even describe, then you're going to have to do what Isaiah is telling us that we need to do. He says, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. Amen. And we have the need to prepare the way of the Lord, to prepare the way, to make the way clear, the pathway clear, the highway clear. He's really talking about what would often happen whenever someone of royalty would come to a particular city or an area. They would send out those workers ahead of them to make sure that every rock was out of the way, that every branch and every tree was out of the way, that everything was completely cleared and the pathway made straight, so that when the prince or the king or whoever this person of great importance, when they would come, that the road would be prepared for them. That's what he's describing here in this text. That all the obstacles are removed, that all the hindrances are gone, that everything is straightened up. Another place that this same idea is also in Isaiah 40 in verses 3 and 4. The voices of him that crieth in the wilderness. Of course, this is a prophetic of the ministry of John the Baptist. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. It's describing those workers who would be sent out ahead to prepare the way of the Lord so that the Lord could come. You see, God is the God of revival. He's the God of blessing. He's the God who wants to pour out His Spirit. He's the God who wants to provide everything that we're in need of, or everything that we could ever desire. And even beyond that, things that we could never even dream of. God has nothing but good for the people of God that He has provided for us. But we don't enjoy it many times because we're not preparing the way for God to come. We are not clearing the pathway for Him to come. We've allowed a lot of things to enter into our life and to take control of our life. And we need the work of the Spirit of God. We need the moving of God in our life so that the pathway can be prepared, so that God can move in our life. Revival will come. It says that every valley will be exalted, lifted up. It's first of all a filling process. That all those areas of weakness and deficiency and all those areas of lacking in our life, that we need to fill it up with good things. The Word of God, the presence of God. Fill it up with prayer. Fill it up with all the wonderful things that God has made available, because we have these spiritual potholes in our life. All the valleys, the low places need to be lifted up. So first it's a filling process. And then it says, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. It's also a leveling process. We're too often, we think too highly of ourselves. We're too often, you see, the reason why that we need to enter into this place with the Lord and to draw near to Him is because we don't need to see ourselves from our human perspective, because whenever you look at yourself from a human perspective and you evaluate yourself that way, then you see I'm a pretty good old guy. And you pat yourself on the back and say, I'm a pretty good person. I've done this and I've done that. And it's really dangerous when you start comparing yourselves. Corinthians warns us about comparing ourselves with others. When you do that, you compare yourselves with yourself, when you compare yourself with others around you. And it's a dangerous thing to do that, because Christ is our example. We need to be comparing ourselves to Him. And when we ascend to a high place, then we see ourselves like He sees us. So there's first this filling, bringing that which is low up. And then there is the leveling process, where all of the self-sufficiency and the pride and all the things that we think are so good about us. I've done this. I've accomplished this. I'm the answer to this problem, or we lift and exalt ourselves up. All that needs to be leveled. Amen. Every valley exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and every crooked place shall be made straight. There needs to be a straightening process also in our life. That the work of the Holy Spirit, that those areas of your life where you've got off track, where you veered off from the purpose of God and from the Word of God, you need to get back on the straight pathway. Amen. You need to make sure that this crooked path is once again made straight, because you have veered away from the plan and the purpose of God for your life. And all this is just a part of the preparation as we prepare for God to come and to move among His people. We want to welcome Him. We want to invite the presence of the Lord into our lives and into our church. Revival comes to a people who have prepared themselves for revival. It's a straightening process. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. It's also a smoothing process. Amen. All of the rough areas of our life, all those areas, many of them that fall into the category of sins of the, not sins of the flesh, but sins of the spirit. Things that we've allowed to get a hold of our life. It may not be obvious to the world that we're involved in it, but our heart is filled with bitterness and anger and jealousy and all of these things that it may not be obvious to the world, but there's some things in our life that needs to be changed. Amen. Our attitude, and sometimes it's reflected in anger or bitterness or malice or many of these things that you can't necessarily put your finger on it as a sin of the flesh, but there are sins of the spirit. There are things that are going on in your heart and in your mind, and you need to let God take care and level all that out of your life, smoothing all the rough edges off of you. There's some preparation that needs to be done if we're to experience revival. He says that revival, it says, "For thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and the holy place." Amen. That's where God is. And that we, from our lowly place, we need to be aspiring to be more like Him. We need to be moving up in our walk with the Lord, to draw nearer to the Lord so that we can see the Lord. You see, if we really get a glimpse of the Lord, then we're going to see ourselves and we're going to see everything differently. Isaiah had that experience back in Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, he said, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up." That vision of the Lord changed Isaiah. It changed him. He said, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Once you ascend to that place, you get closer to the Lord. You draw nearer to the Lord. It begins to change your attitude about yourself. You start seeing yourself differently. And you see your need, and you see your weaknesses. You see your failures. Let me tell you, pride is a great obstacle to revival, whether it be in the preacher or any one of us. Pride is a destructive force in any person's life. When you begin to think of how good you are, or how you have so many attributes and so much to offer, and you're so intelligent, or you have all these different qualities, all of these things that you're proud of, do you know that all of those things are the gift of God to you? Any talent, any ability, anything that has come your way that you might be exalted and lifted up. You see, it was Satan himself that was exalted, and he wanted to be like the Most High. And that proud spirit is a spirit that God resists. God resists it. If it's in you, if it's in me, and sometimes it can even be under the category of spiritual pride. You know, I have this gift, or I can accomplish this, or I can preach like this, or I can accomplish these things. Sometimes it can even seem like it's a spiritual pride in our life. The revival comes whenever we're reaching. We're stretching ourselves and we're wanting to be more like Him. We've got this desire to get closer to Him. And we want to do like this, the song says, we want to plant our feet on higher ground. We want to move up in our walk with the Lord and our fellowship with the Lord. We want to get closer to the Lord. That's the revival that we need. It's a revival that changes us. It's a revival that transforms our life to the place that we begin to see ourselves as, oh, woe is me, I'm undone. I don't have anything. I have nothing to offer. I am nothing. I am no one. I have nothing. And all that I do have is a gift of God. And if God has given to you certain gifts, then those things need to be humbly committed and dedicated to God for His purpose. Amen. Because He's given them, and just as quickly as He has given them to you, He could take them away if He so chose. Pride is a destructive force, and it hinders revival. If you want to exalt yourself, you know, just like the same poles of a magnet, Christ is the one that is to be exalted. He's the one that is up on high. He's the one that we're to be aspiring to be like. But if we aspire to be like Him, those same poles will always resist. And God resists the proud. But He gives grace to the humble. There's no way you can experience spiritual revival unless you're willing to come to the Lord and to realize that you don't have really much at all to offer to Him. And that's what the writer here says. He said, God is high. With Him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit. So in revival, we're reaching to be like Him so that we can get a better perspective, a heavenly perspective on who we are. And see ourselves like God does. Not that we could think that we could ever be exactly like Him, but we're to be aspiring to be like Him. There needs to be a reaching in this pursuit of revival. But there's also this bowing low, humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. Realizing that you are only going to enter into revival as you are of a broken and a contrite spirit. Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 138 and verse 6, though the Lord be high, yet He hath respect unto the lowly, but the proud He knoweth afar off. God resists the proud. He resists the proud. And pride brings destruction. Pride brings a fall. But humility before the Lord, humbling yourself before the Lord, coming to Him and confessing your need of help from the Lord. And God is attracted to that. He is attracted to people who recognize that they need Him. You need Him in every part of your life. In every responsibility that you have, every area of your life, you need the Lord. There's nothing that you can do of any value at all in your own power or strength. It is all the gift of God. It's all God's provision for you. What does He do for those who humble themselves? It says that He revives their spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Hallelujah. Even though the rain a couple of days ago was just a short little 40-minute rain or whatever, even with that, you could almost see, it was almost right before your eyes that you could see some of the plants changing. They were so thirsty. And that rain came and it was almost visible. And even some areas you could see things just greening up just from that little bit of rain. What we got a little bit of, we need a whole lot of. Amen. We need to ask the Lord to send us a physical rain to this part of the country. But even more than that, oh, how desperately we need God to send a spiritual rain. There is such a flood tide. We were in Sunday school talking about the mystery of iniquity that is at work in our world right now. Only the church is the restraining force that's holding back everything from just being totally out of control. We have a serious, serious thing that's going on. You say, well, I don't know why that everybody's getting all worked up over this quote-unquote gay marriage thing. The reason why that it's such a focus, that marriage is a divine institution of God. It's the very foundation of our society and who we are as Christians. It's the very foundation. That's why it's being attacked. That's why, sad to say, that leaders in our country have come out publicly for it. This week, a congressman with his companion was married by the governor of the state of Massachusetts. That's where we are. It's almost every day that some public figure, some Hollywood figure, some news person, some high-profile person, even preachers across this country that are coming out and saying, I'm going to side with that group of people. We're finding us ourselves today in the minority when it comes to just the very basis, the very basics of what needs to be happening in our nation, just the foundation of what we are. Because the enemy wants to destroy, he wants to crumble everything that is of God. He wants to bring it to destruction. There's only one hope for this country, and it certainly is not Democratic or Republican. There is only one hope for this nation, and that is this revival that we're talking about. It's the only way. It's the only way. And if I know people are concerned about the November election, but even up to that time and beyond, there needs to be a heartfelt cry from the people of God all over this nation that God would somehow salvage our nation and cause the church to come back to life and to get back on their face and humbly cry out to God. That's a revival that we need. We need it. And I actually honestly believe that it's the only hope for this nation. It's the only hope for this world. Is this return to God. And since it is the most crucial and important thing, then this should be the pursuit of our life. This should be the focus of the attention of our life. Nothing else. Are you distracted? Have other things taken the priority of your life? Then you need to clear the highway for God. You need to remove all of these things that are not pleasing to the Lord. You need to let that pathway be straightened back out again. You need to get back to God and back to the Word of God. There has to be a return to the Lord. There has to be this process of preparing the way for the Lord as we humble ourselves before Him, as we see ourselves like He sees us. Amen. We view ourselves, and we, you know, from a human perspective, It's a sad thing, but we see ourselves as pretty good people. He sees the great need of our life. He sees the dryness. He sees the lacking, the emptiness. He sees the fact that as a people and as a church world all over this nation, that we've moved away from God, we've moved away from the Word of God, and here we are in the most critical, crucial time in the history of our country and even in the history of our church right here. And in a time like this, is it possible that we could be losing our interest in the things of God? Are we doing less? Are we praying less? Are we less faithful to God? Less faithful to the house of God? Less faithful to the Word of God at the time that is the most crucial, dark time that we've ever experienced? Are we going to get so cold and so far removed from the things of God that we're going to allow ourselves to get in this condition at the last hour? Let me tell you, the revival we need is a revival that awakens us to the fact that we have got to get more serious about this than we ever have. We must. The reason I was talking about influencers, because it's been on my mind for the last some time, more than the last week. It's been so strong on my mind. And I felt this heaviness on me, this burden on me, because I know that as a people, we must call on God. We must get a hold of God. We must seek the Lord. We must pour ourselves into the things of God. And if we don't, then what we're going to see is this darkness just swallow us up. We're going to be taken in by the philosophy and the thinking of this world and the things that we've held dear. The truths, the principles of God's word that we've held dear are going to be totally made void. That's the revival we need. Preparing the way. Let God talk to you here this morning. Would you let the Lord talk to you today? Moms and dads, don't think that these days are like other days. They're not. Don't think that, well, other generations have gone through hard times, so what we're experiencing right now, we're going to make it through this. Oh, no, these are different times. These are the last moments of the last days. We're at the very end. It's more intensified. There's a greater battle. There's a greater possibility that your household and your family is going to be affected than ever before in the history of the church. It's the most critical hour of the church right now in these last days. The revival we need is the revival that awakens us to our need for God and that we are dissatisfied with who we are and where we are. We're not going to look to another day. Well, maybe in September or maybe next year or there'll be times, you know, when it will be easier. No. Right now, today, this is the hour. This is the hour. And we need to call upon the Lord with our whole heart.